Good afternoon. Welcome to the 2022 Clay County Candidate Forum. I'm Dave Crooks, President and General Manager of DLC Media. My company owns and operates your local Clay County radio stations. If you text friends or family, they can find the broadcast of today's event on WAMB The Breeze in Brazil at either 106.9 FM or 1130 AM or 99.5 FM in Terre Haute. Listeners may also stream audio from today's forum by visiting our webpage, WAMBradio.com. Speaking of your cell phones, for those in attendance, please silence your phones so they do not disrupt our candidates and those in attendance. Times for agreeing to co-sponsor today's event. I also want to give special thanks to Superintendent Jeff Fritz of Clay Community Schools, along with the administration here at Northview High School, for allowing us to move today's event on very short notice to the nicely climate-controlled auditorium. Kind of beats the Cow Palace today, doesn't it, with 50-degree temperatures. Special thanks to Assistant Principal Brian Strain and Dominique Thompson, our band director. They're here today helping us out. Also, my morning show host on 105.5 The Legend, Barry Kent, is running the audio controls up in the control room. Thanks to everyone for your assistance today. Today's forum is designed to give voters in Clay County a better understanding of the contested races in this year's Republican primary election, May 3rd. We'll probably do another forum this fall for the general election if we have enough contested races. I will serve as the MC and timer of today's event. Let me explain the format for the forum. Each candidate will have up to 3 minutes to introduce themselves and share their reasons why they want to serve. Once our moderator begins the questions, each candidate will receive up to 90 seconds to give their answers. Candidates will also receive up to 3 minutes during their closing remarks. It's our goal to give all the candidates plenty of time to share their ideas and reasons and why they are the most qualified to serve the voters of Clay County. When a candidate is out of time, they will hear the sound of this bell. Candidates, when you hear the bell, please quickly wrap up your comments. A reminder that early voting is already underway. Please take time to vote for the candidates of your choice. Polls will close at 6 p.m. May 3rd. WAMB The Breeze will also provide live election coverage on election night beginning at 7:10 p.m. As a former elected official, business owner, and resident of Clay County, I want to take a moment to thank everyone who has stepped up to serve in government, no matter your current position or the office you're attempting to serve. It is important that voters have choices, and we need more citizens who are willing to put their name on the ballot to make our communities the best they can be. Can we all give a round of applause to all the candidates and public servants here today and listening at home? Our moderator for today's forum is Gretchen Stone. Gretchen is the new co-editor of the Brazil Times. Gretchen studied journalism at West Virginia University. She currently resides in Park County with her first grade son. Gretchen, thank you for agreeing to moderate today's forum. I know you've been preparing all week for today's event. We appreciate your hard work and preparation. So everyone here, please welcome Gretchen Stone.
We'll start with 3 minute introductions for each candidate, starting with the Republican sheriff's candidates today. We'll follow the listing on the ballot. So that means Josh Clark will be up first with the 3 minute introduction.
Thank you. As mentioned, my name is Josh Clark. I'm currently the chief deputy for the Clay County Sheriff's Office. I want to start off by saying thank you to the Brazil Times and to WAMB The Breeze for hosting this event. I've got three other gentlemen sitting behind me that are well-adversed and experienced in law enforcement. And this opportunity to host this forum will allow us to get our information out there and explain who we are and what our purposes will be with the Sheriff's Office. I am a graduate of Northview High School. After high school, I spent 4 years studying construction management and psychology at ISU. Following that, I studied 2 years at Ivy Tech studying criminology. During that time, I found a love for law enforcement. I was hired in the early 2000s by the Sheriff's Office, where I was employed for part-time dispatch in jail and as a reserve deputy. During that time, I dedicated several hours learning from some of the best law enforcement officers in our area. After being hired full-time by Sheriff Rob Carter, I've been able to hold every position at the Sheriff at the sheriff's office, except for sheriff. I spent most of my time as canine handler with my partner, Forrest. We dedicated a lot of time with our students, our children, and doing a lot of drug enforcement. I was also a patrol sergeant for several years. Following that, I was promoted by a current sheriff, Paul Harden, to lead as chief deputy. So the last 7.5 years, I have been his chief deputy. Again, I'm grateful for this opportunity, and hopefully by the end of this forum, I will prove to you that I'm the best candidate to be your next sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Next up, we will have Billy Neville for a 3-minute introduction.
Hello, I'm Billy Neville. I'm a graduate of West Vigo High School. After high school, I went on to play 2 years of junior college baseball at Lakeland Junior College in Mattoon, Illinois, where I majored in business administration. In 2011, I had the opportunity to be hired as a reserve deputy at the Clay County Sheriff's Office. A year later, I was hired on as a full-time merit deputy. As a merit deputy, I have held the positions of deputy, canine handler, I'm currently a detective, and a member of the Clay County Drug Task Force. I have 3 kids who are active in the community that I coach baseball and basketball for. I've also been married to my beautiful wife, Caitlin, for 7 years, who is a nurse practitioner in the community at St. Vincent Clay.
Thank you very much, Billy. Next up, we'll have Sam Sturley for 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. I'm Sam Sturley. For those who don't know me, I was born and raised here. I attended Jackson Township Elementary and Brazil High School. I've also earned a degree in technology from Ivy Tech. I grew up attending St. John's United Church of Christ, where I'm still a member today. But more importantly, I've been a police officer for over 34 years. As a young trooper, I patrolled Clay County, but I didn't limit my experience to the road. Since then, I've been promoted to detective, crime scene investigator, and I currently serve as a supervisor for detectives assigned to the Putnamville Post. My training and experience in supervision is what enables me to be a good leader. Leadership is about investing in the growth of others. I also have firsthand experience in organizing major crime scenes and managing those investigations. The list of schools I've attended is lengthy. That's why I'm able to handle high-stress environments with maturity, calmness, and professionalism. I look forward to bringing that list of accomplishments to the Clay County Sheriff's Department. I will provide traditional law enforcement services. It's about the fundamentals, meaning current professional standards and the expectations of the public. I'm a fiscal conservative. I will be a good steward of the taxpayers' money and ensure that they get the most value out of every dollar we spend. I will continue the practice of holding federal inmates at the Clay County Justice Center, a practice that has brought local jobs and federal funds to the county since 2013. Our county deserves effective law enforcement, and I have a proven plan to implement those goals. With your help, we can make the Clay County Sheriff's Department a place that all employees and the county is proud of.
Thank you, Sam. Next, we'll have Bryson Swearingen for 3-minute introduction.
Okay, perfect. First, I'd like to thank everybody for attending today on the holiday weekend and everybody listening in the community. I'd like to thank the Brazil Times and DLC Media for allowing us the opportunity to speak with everybody about our campaign goals and our strategies that is going to best suit the county. As stated, my name is Bryson Swearingen. I've been a lifelong resident of Clay County. I attended Northview High School. After graduating from Northview here, I went to Indiana State University where I studied and graduated with a degree in criminology. In 2004, I was hired as a reserve deputy here at Clay County. And later in 2005, I was hired as a merit deputy. While serving the community, I decided to go to school. During my time at the sheriff's office, I've held the rank of reserve deputy, merit deputy, and now currently patrol sergeant. Some of my duties at the sheriff's office are field training coordinator, and I'm also in charge of the training for the sheriff's office.
Thank you very much, Bryson. Next, we'll move on to questions, starting with a little discussion of the current jail facility. So not talking about the jail expansion yet, but the actual jail, which was built around 2005, 2006. Do you believe it's utilized as well as possible? Do you think there have been negatives or positives from the building of that facility? We'll start with Josh Clark.
So the current jail that we have was constructed in 2005. We moved in February 2006. It was designed to hold 176 inmates with an administration portion up front. The jail was built with and under a current budget that our county could afford. Unfortunately, you never know how big to build something and you never have enough money to build it. Our administration section could be much larger. And as there has been a lot of talk, and I'm sure we'll discuss the expansion here in a short while, it could be bigger. And there's a statistic and a proven factor of how they age the jails. And for every year that a jail is open, they're 24/7, all the time open, that a jail ages 4 years to every one. And so now we're 15, 16 years into it. The jail is aging quite rapidly. We're currently in the process of needing a new roof. Our water system is old and dilapidated. Our filtration system is old and dilapidated. There are several things that our facility needs that could be potentially a burden to our tax base. And that's one thing as sheriff I want to avoid, is to affect any of our taxpayers out there and try to have those remedies and those fixes fixed through our own revenue sources.
Thank you. Next up, Billy, if you'd like to speak to the same question.
I agree with Josh. Our jail was great when it was first built. We are expanding more. We're hiring more deputies. We're hiring more jailers. We don't have the room that we need. However, it does its purpose right now. I believe that we house the inmates we need to. We house the federal inmates that we need to. So as of right now, I think our facility does what it needs to do.
Thank you. Sam?
My experience is with the Indiana State Police. I work out of the Putnamville Post, and for the last 16 or so years, I've been in the Criminal Investigation Division. So we cover six counties, Clay County included, and when I compare Clay County facility to all of the other jails in the district, I think Clay County's facility stands out as by far the best laid out, the best planned facility that we have. I understand that the jail was built in 2005. It's getting some age, needs some improvements and those types of things. The county commissioners are obviously in charge of all county property and they're on top of that and looking into that. And the county council, who holds the purse strings to the county, are aware of the problems and working on funding for that too.
Thank you. Bryson?
So as a member of the sheriff's office, I was working whenever we transitioned from the old jail into the new jail. And absolutely, at the time, it was a top-notch facility. As Josh stated, it has become dilapidated. However, maybe we could do better by doing better maintenance and upkeep on the jail. So that way we don't put the taxpayers into the position of needing to build a facility just because there was repairs that were neglected over time.
Thank you. And from that question, we'll segue on into the jail expansion. Basically, are you for or against the jail expansion? Why? There's been a lot of discussion. There's been some heated debate and folks visiting the county because they're against it. We'll start with Josh.
Yes, this has been an extremely hot topic, and as a chief deputy and working with the commissioners on this project, I am all for the project. I think this is a great revenue stream that would be very beneficial to our tax base, as I mentioned earlier. In 2013, Sheriff Mike Heaton brought ICE detainees to our facility. Granted, we only had a 176-bed facility, so our space with ICE is limited. During the last 7.5 years, Sheriff Hardin and I have been able to increase the revenue that is generated from that. We've increased the daily rate that we receive from the federal government, and we've also increased the number of ICE detainees that we've held. The expansion itself, it is a great opportunity. We currently have 64, I believe. I do a check every week, but I think we have 64 ICE detainees in our facility right now. And the misconception is that these detainees are coming across the borders that we're seeing on the media. They're trying to get asylum. They're trying to get away from problems they've had in their countries. The reality is we hold inmates from all over the world. Africa, Canada, Russia, it doesn't matter. They're from all over. And of those 64 we have, maybe less than 10 that are from some sort of visa issues. The rest are violent criminals. So our current jail, we hold people who are local, who are pre-trial detainees, short term. The federal government doesn't have that opportunity to hold pre-trial aspects. So we hold the ICE detainees who are still going through the legal system to determine if they're guilty or not. But I am all for the jail expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy, the same question?
It's hard for me to speak on the jail. All the numbers that obviously Josh has and the commissioners have. If building the new jail makes the county money and doesn't cost the taxpayers any more money, then I'm all for it.
Thank you. Sam?
The Clay County Justice Center, like all county property, is under the authority of the Clay County Commissioners. The decision of whether to expand the current facility or not starts there, and I've attended the commissioners' meetings for over a year now. The county commissioners have recently voted to proceed with this expansion, and the county council has control over the county's money, also voted to proceed with the expansion. The power that the sheriff has in this process is a decision of what out-of-county inmates he accepts into the jail. As a sheriff, I will continue the practice of accepting other county inmates, DOC inmates, and federal inmates, as long as we have the appropriate number of beds. I will not dismantle this program and force an unnecessary tax burden on the taxpayers of our county. And yes, I do support the expansion of the Justice Center. Bringing federal funds to Clay County is good for our economy. So are the employment opportunities that come with it. I will address recruitment and retention issues for our jailers, but this program has been successful since 2013.
Thank you. Bryson?
So ultimately, yes, I am for the jail expansion. However, throughout the campaign of mine over the last year, that has been one of the biggest questions that I've received. I've heard from, you know, council meetings and commissioners meetings that everybody's for this expansion. However, I kind of hear it differently in the community. I feel like this should have been something that was a ballot initiative and let the people decide whether they want to expand the jail or stay with what we currently have. However, like the other candidates have said, yes, it is a great program. It does provide money to the county. However, one of the concerns I have is the revolving door of staff in the jail that we currently have. How are we going to double our staffing if we expand this, if we can't keep the number of employees we have now? That is a major concern of mine, and we have, I would say, more people that have not gone through jail school than have that are currently working for the jail. That is an issue, and that needs to be remedied before the expansion of the jail. And it starts with the salaries that are being paid to the county employees. The jailer should be paid as a jailer, not less than everybody else in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll kind of stay within that same topic range and talk a little bit about ICE detainees and the individuals being housed there. I know Josh probably had a little more to say, and folks might want to add onto their comments. Some other facilities across the U.S. have lost their contracts due to mistreatment of detainees. Could you talk a little bit about the process when a detainee comes to the jail and sort of what happens while they're there and how soon they leave, that sort of thing? Josh?
So as she mentioned, there are facilities across the country that have closed, and there are reasons for those closures. And I think just like in our local area, we have community corrections that you can put less profile, low profile detainees out on home arrest or whatnot. So there are plans to take the non-criminals out of the system, and I'm a proponent of that. The problem is there are criminals. There are people who are being accused of committing a crime, and they have to go through the judicial process. That is our given right here in the United States. These detainees have that same opportunity, and we are the only facility in the state that has long-term holding. Now, when I say long-term holding, that's not years on end. That's a matter of weeks and or even days that they rotate. The federal government determines where they go, when they go there, and how they go there. Our facility does transport these detainees, so we have that luxury to be able to transport them for them, and we recoup the cost of the fuel and the hourly rate in which the employees get paid. The luxury that we may have in this expansion is we will be able to hold the detainees and then allow them to go through their court process at our facility. It will be designed with that opportunity to have the virtual court process right there in our facility. This will in turn save the federal government money because they will not have to move to another facility to go through that court process. Once that court process is determined, they are free to bond. They may be deported wherever that country is that they're from. They may be deported. Again, there are several opportunities they have in this system, in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy?
I'm all for the ICE program. If these illegals have committed crimes in the United States, they need to answer to those crimes. I love housing them at our facility. We get paid good money to house them and to transport them. As far as how long they hold them, I'm not privy to that information. I can't answer that, but I'm all for holding ICE inmates.
Thank you. Sam?
Like Billy, I'm not privy to a lot of the detailed information that goes on there. I am familiar with the border situation and a lot of illegal immigrants coming across the border. I also know that the detainees that we're holding in facilities like the Clay County Justice Center are not being held simply because they came across the border illegally. They've committed other high-level felony crimes. There are people that they're being held based upon probable cause that they committed these crimes, and an independent magistrate has said that we can detain them. And so I support that process and procedure. And like I said before, I think it's good for Clay County to bring the federal funds in, and the job opportunities is a bonus for us.
Thank you. Bryson?
Not to sound like a broken record, but obviously Josh does have more information about the ICE program than the rest of us candidates. However, one thing that I think we need to be cognizant of, we're basically looking to expand our jail for the ICE program itself. And if we don't have the proper employees in place that are properly trained to run the program, that could potentially leave Clay County. There are multiple inspections, throughout the year. And we unfortunately have failed inspections in the past. And that is something that if we're looking to expand the jail, it should not be tolerated, because we are going to take a heavy hit on the taxpayers to expand this jail for a program that could potentially, if not training our employees properly, could leave the county.
Thank you. Now we'll switch gears a little with a different sort of question. Let's talk a little bit about constitutional carry. About 23 states now have some form of constitutional carry. Do you agree with it or not? And how would you change the law as it now stands? I think a major change was made in March. Josh?
As a Republican, I strongly support and believe in the Second Amendment. And the constitutional carry is something that just passed. I think there are some issues within that constitutional carry that, as the sheriff, I would like to be that voice in the state house for. I want every good law-abiding citizen to have a weapon. I think everyone needs to be able to protect themselves. We are outmanned in the sense of our number of staffing, and we may need your protection. And one of the issues with the constitutional carry is that it almost gives a little bit of protection to the criminal.
Our main goal in law enforcement is to make sure the bad guys don't get guns. And what I'm a fear of is that, and under the law, if you're a convicted felon, you can't possess a firearm. Well, now everyone can have one. So what changes between a good person and a bad person? I don't know who's who, right? So under the sense of having a permit, we were able to know who went through the process, who got a permit, and who was legally able to carry a weapon. Again, they had made that process free. I was all for that. Again, now, if I stop a felon, and I don't know that felon, and he has a gun sitting in his car, there may not be anything I can do to take that weapon off the street. And that is a huge concern of mine, because we need to protect all the good people.
Thank you. Billy?
I'm all for the Second Amendment. I believe everybody has the right to protect themselves, their family, and their property. I do believe the law that just passed does give law enforcement a disadvantage. I was all for making gun permits free, but I do believe that we do need some type of checks and balances. We're not going to be doing background checks on people who aren't mentally able to have a firearm or, again, like Josh said, felons. There has to be some kind of checks and balances there to keep officers like myself and these guys safe whenever they're approaching vehicles or searching houses.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sam?
I, too, am all for the Second Amendment and the Constitution of the United States of America. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and I consider that my duty today. Do I think police officers will be in more danger because of constitutional carry? No, I don't. Because we train to expect every gun is in every car will have a gun in it, and we train with that possibility in mind. In many cases where a firearm is used in a crime, they didn't apply for a permit to begin with. Additionally, the laws requiring a background check at the time of purchase are still in place. Also know that residents can still apply for a handgun permit, and it's maintained with the Indiana State Police. It's a 13-step process, and it will keep you in compliance with other states that do require a handgun permit. I think the only difference between the constitutional carry and our permit process is with the constitutional carry, there's no background check. One of the 13 steps is if you've been diagnosed with a mental illness, that like schizophrenia or something, that would disqualify you from carrying a handgun. That's taken out the process with constitutional carry, but it's still in the process for a handgun permit.
Thank you. Bryson?
As a candidate for the office of Clay County Sheriff, I don't feel that it's the sheriff's responsibility to change laws that are enacted by the state's government and their leaders. However, the sheriff is to enforce those laws. That is what is the priority of the sheriff. It is every U.S. citizen's natural given right for the right to keep and bear arms. However, as the other candidates have explained, there are concerns with criminals in possession of firearms. But that didn't stop them before constitutional carry. We have to work in conjunction with the courts and the prosecutor's office to make sure that we're doing the best we can for the citizens and keeping everybody safe and protecting their rights at the same time.
Thank you. So are there any weapons, assault weapons, high-capacity magazines, bump stocks, that you believe should be banned or restricted, whether they are now or not, or that restriction should end? Why or why not? Josh?
As a citizen who owns several guns, I do not believe anything should be banned. I think we should all have the opportunity to play with fun toys, right? As some of the other candidates mentioned, the criminals get the guns no matter what. They're going to get these items regardless. And so we often refer in law enforcement as we are handcuffed more than the criminals are at times. And I think this is a situation where we are limiting the scope of what people can possess for no reason. Again, the good people that want it and use it properly are not allowed to have it, where the criminals are going to find a way to get it. And that is a huge problem for me.
Thank you. Billy?
I agree with Josh. I don't believe there should be any ban on any types of weapons, any capacity of magazines. Like Josh, I have many toys myself, and I don't want somebody to come in and tell me what I can and cannot have, as long as I'm legally allowed to have it.
Thank you. Sam?
I'm going to agree with these guys, too. I think the Second Amendment was not written for deer hunters and rabbit hunters. Mm-hmm. The Second Amendment was written for an oppressive government. Mm-hmm. And I am not supportive of any laws that restrict magazine capacity and those types of things. I think blaming inanimate objects for the actions of other people is not productive and not helpful.
Thank you. Ryson?
As with the other candidates, I also agree that the restrictive nature of limiting what people can legally own, I'm not for that. If we look overseas at Ukraine right now, they are fighting for their freedoms, and if we limited our citizens from being able to protect themselves, that would cause a problem.
Thank you. Speaking of the Sheriff's Department generally, do you have any specific goals for the department? What would be your top three priorities? Josh?
She really limited me with three there. That's going to be a tough one. Keeping our citizens safe is got to be one of their top priorities. And I am the liaison for our school resource program. And unfortunately, we can only cover a small portion of the schools, but I want to see that program expanded. I think our children really need that safety, the staff, the teachers, and so forth. They need that comfort, that security within those schools. So I really want to expand on that. The other thing, I believe Bryson pointed on it, our county council is limited on how much revenue they have coming in and how much of that they can then give back to our office. Pay is a huge problem for us, and it is a revolving door, not only at our office, but across the country. Brazil City, you know, all the locals here, but across the country, we're losing good guys. And I can confidently say we have a lot of great members at our office, a lot of great staff, and they do go somewhere else. They do go to a better opportunity. But there's no reason why our jail staff should be making $15 an hour for the most important job and helping keep our citizens safe. That's a struggle. So I want to not only increase our staffing numbers, but I need to increase our staffing pay rate for all across the board to ensure that everybody is compensated properly to keep those employees. The third facet I think I want to talk about is our training. Bryson brought that up as well. Our training needs to be outside the box. In today's society, across the nation, law enforcement is criticized in how we do our job. That is accurate. Sometimes we get complacent on how we do our job. And I want to see us expand that opportunity. More training.
Thank you. Billy?
As a member of the drug task force in Clay County, I'm passionate about illegal drugs and getting them off the streets. One of my main focuses would be to get these illegal drugs off the street. It's been said that possession and dealing illegal narcotics is a victimless crime, which I disagree with. Any person that's ever had to go into a house and take a kid from a parent because of illegal drug use or dealing or anything along those lines, no, it's not a victimless crime. I would put a drug task force together to work with other counties, the FBI and the DEA, to combat the illegal drugs on the street. Along with Josh, our deputies, jailers, everybody at our office does need a pay increase. We don't get paid enough for what we do, especially jail staff. It's a revolving door. Everybody is in and out. Some people have been there more than once. And also the schools. There should be an armed guard in every single school, whether we have to expand it to bring other counties, city officers into Clay County. I believe there should be an armed guard in every single school.
Thank you. Bryson? Or Sam, I'm sorry. You get to go, too.
I think one of the big problems that our community faces is drugs, particularly methamphetamine and opioids. In nearly every major investigation that I've been involved in over the last several years, methamphetamine and other drugs have been involved. Drugs destroy lives, not to mention the financial and emotional strain that addiction places on families and loved ones. Another issue is the jail staff. I know state standards require 80 hours of training before a jailer can be released on their own. And in another local county, I was told they were hiring a new jailer every 9 days. It's not just Clay County that has this issue. I think hiring and retention of qualified individuals to supervise and staff the jail has to be addressed. The third thing would be the internal issues. I've heard many complaints from both the public and officers about internal issues and the division they has caused. The department's goals and services to the public will suffer if this issue is not properly addressed. The answer to this problem is structure. In order to establish structure, I will review and revise the department's policy and procedure manuals. These manuals are the foundation of the department's operations. They provide employees with information needed to act decisively, consistently, and legally by providing both operational as well as behavioral protocols. They will ensure that the department employees are prepared for unusual circumstances and take the appropriate course of action. They also provide the foundation for disciplinary action if needed and progressive discipline when it's appropriate.
Thank you. Bryson?
First, employee retention should be a priority at the Sheriff's Office. Far too often we have a turnover rate much higher than other agencies, whether that be in the jail or on the road. That does affect public safety. Like I stated before, this is something that's going to require the attention of the County Council and is going to require paying the employees their fair share. Secondly, we definitely need to address the drug problem in Clay County. As a former canine handler of 8 years, that is something that we were tasked with, not only on the road, but also through investigations. We need to make sure that our drug task force is working with other agencies to make sure that we combat the problem that everybody sees daily. Third, we need to make sure that whenever we do have openings, that we are able to recruit the best people to fill those positions, because they are the ones that you and I are going to rely upon whenever disaster strikes. We currently have open deputies positions, and it's not just us. It's not just the Clay County Sheriff's Office. It's a problem nationwide, getting qualified applicants. But we need to do something better as far as reaching out, making sure people know that we have open positions and why they need to work for Clay County.
Thank you. Okay, let's talk a little bit now about why you want to be sheriff of Clay County, kind of what sets you apart from the other candidates. Josh?
Why do I want to be Clay County Sheriff? As a young kid, growing up, I enjoyed helping people. The civic-minded aspects are something that I enjoy. Being your sheriff is something I will take very, very seriously, very passionate about that. I'm available 24/7, anytime, day or night. People call me all the time as it is now. I think that as sheriff, and as even as chief deputy, and growing up through the ranks, I try to lead from the front. As a SWAT operator on the SWAT team, going out and helping the guys, doing the things with the guys is imperative. But as sheriff, I also believe that it's a figurehead. It's a person who goes and speaks on behalf of the citizens. As a citizen sheriff, I am responsible for ensuring how the officers are working in the jail, patrol, dispatch, and so forth. So establishing all the expectations and the standards of operation and how they work will be my responsibility. And again, I have a huge passion in helping the community, and I want to ensure that my staff do the same thing. We need to excel at that. We need to be better at that. And I hope to have your vote on May 3rd.
Thank you. Billy?
I believe that leaders lead, right? I've led the department, one of the leads of the department in arrests and investigations since I started 10 years ago. I want to bring that drive back to the guys. I want our guys to be out enforcing the law and doing things. And I believe that's going to happen by showing them how to have it done, how it's done. I want to build a drug task force. I'm involved in drug task force now. I work with Terre Haute, I work with the DEA, and I work with the FBI. I believe all of our guys have the ability to get the illegal drugs off the street. They just have to be shown how it's done. I also believe that we have to be complete, or we have to get in touch with the community. There's not enough talk between the department and the community. I'd like to bring a cops or a coffee with a cop once a month where I can be there with the public and you can give me your issues. We have a lot of issues in the department. I believe that we all need to talk about it and figure it out. Thank you.
I think the sheriff for a smaller agency like ours should have training and experience in three areas: enforcement, criminal investigations, and supervision. It takes about 5 to 7 years of experience for a uniform officer to become a good road officer. It takes training and another 3 to 5 years to be an experienced detective. And it takes training and another 3 to 5 years of experience in supervision to be a good leader. I've accomplished all of these things and more and under the guidance of the Indiana State Police, and I think these are critical background experience issues that the sheriff should possess.
Thank you. Bryson?
The reason why I want to be sheriff is because we need to do better for the community. Over the last 10 years, we have seen a decline, whether it be in personnel or in just the public safety that has been provided to the citizens of Clay County. It requires a leader to step forward and lead a group of guys and tell them what needs to be done and make sure that we are supporting the citizens, and make sure we're protecting their constitutional rights.
Thank you. And then our last question before we have closings, let's talk a little bit about public access to information and general sharing of information from the department. Do you believe it's appropriate at the level it's at now? How would you improve it? Or do you think there's an expectation that too much information should be shared too immediately? Josh?
I guess I jumped the gun a little bit on the last one. I thought that was our closing and going into it. So our social media probably does, and our release of information probably struggles, and I will take a little bit of fault of that. I am not a Facebook guy, and we are preached to quite heavily to watch what we do and how we do things on Facebook, because it can create a lot of havoc in the community. So with that said, we do work with the media. We try to work very well with them, but I think there's a lot of things we can do more. One of the things that the gentleman sitting behind me probably don't even realize and don't know about is we're currently in the process of working with a company called Sheriff's App. This app is hopefully going to go live in the next couple of months that will be firsthand, right away access to each and everyone listening here and so forth in our community. This app can go on any smartphone, but you'll have direct access to our inmates. You'll have direct access to get gun permits, whatever reports that may be within the sheriff's office. It will also give immediate notifications that are pushed out to either localized areas, so say we have a pursuit, say we have an escaped inmate, God forbid, or there's a crash, you know, to avoid the area because of traffic hazards. We will be able to send out notifications to, again, a regional area or the entire community. And so we do need to do a better job, and I fold that back on my shoulders as chief deputy. I want to excel at that a little bit better as sheriff, and hopefully my staff will work with me as well in that.
Billy?
Yes, I believe we don't interact with the community as much. I believe that our Facebook should be active all the time. Everything should be updated that's going on in the community. I would appoint somebody as a public information officer who could relay information between the news, the papers, and everything else, so people are informed what's going on. People shouldn't be on Brazil chatter saying, why is there a standoff in this area, or why is there a big police presence in this area? They should know that information as soon as we do.
Thank you. Sam?
Coming from the Indiana State Police, we do have a public information officer that works full-time at keeping the public informed of events that are going on real time in the community, and I do think that's very important, and there is a need for that at Clay County Sheriff's Department. Access to public information that you referred to in your question also, I think you know, there's state laws and guidelines that dictate that, as well as policy. For example, you know, with the Indiana State Police, you cannot get a copy of our incident reports even if you're the victim. There's various reasons for that, but you can get a crime summary if you need to show that a crime has happened.
Thank you. Bryson?
I think making sure that we communicate with the public should be a priority. Several years ago, I did ask to become a public information officer for the sheriff's office, but unfortunately, that never came to happen. That is something we need to do better, as Josh said. It is a social media day and age where everybody looks at social media to find out what is going on. And we need to make sure that we're putting out the right information to eliminate any confusion within the community. We also need to make sure that whenever we're talking about criminal aspects of public information releases, we need to work with the prosecutor's office to make sure that we are conveying the proper message and not to hurt any criminal cases that may go on after that.
Thank you. Okay, now it is time for our 90-second close. So if you want to finish up comments, add to something you've said previously, this is your chance. Josh?
3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay.
Well, I think I've let all the tricks out of the bag there. I think I've given all my secrets out. But as I mentioned in my opening statement, I'm blessed. My wonderful wife, Emily, is the prosecutor of Clay County. I'm blessed to have that relationship with her as sheriff and being able to work with her to be able to better develop that relationship with not only her, but the Brazil City Police Department, State Police, and so forth is going to be essential. As chief deputy for the past 7.5 years, I have been fiscally conservative steward of our budget and of your tax dollars. Again, we have not had to ask for many increases, and if anything, we've actually lowered the amount of budgetary money that we have needed. So I'm very confident in how we can move forward as your sheriff and taking care of your tax dollars. I mentioned earlier, I have three guys sitting here behind me that have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. But what I would like to say is, as chief deputy, as a patrol sergeant, as a canine handler, I've done a lot with our office, and I am confident that I have not only the education, the experience. Sometimes those things don't matter, but what you've done in the office, it's the type of experience that you have had. And I believe that my experience that I have had puts me at a little bit more of an advantage than the three gentlemen sitting behind me. And again, I would love to be your sheriff, and I look forward to that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy?
I probably have the least experience out of all these guys. I looked up to all these guys. I've worked under most of them. I haven't worked under Sam. I consider them all friends, and I'd love to work for any one of them. And I will work for any one of them. I believe I would be the best sheriff's candidate because I will lead the department. I will go out there. I'll work side by side. I will work drug investigations. I will work with the road guys to better take illegal narcotics off the street as well as other crimes.
Thank you, Billy. Sam?
First of all, I want to encourage everyone to vote. Your participation in these elections is what makes our democracy work. I cannot remember a time that someone with my background, experience, and qualifications has ran for Clay County Sheriff. I've gained my experience with the Indiana State Police. We are in all 92 counties. That simply gives us more opportunities and more access to events. Also, I wouldn't underestimate the professional contacts I've made throughout the state. Experts in criminal investigations, forensic science, legal issues, ethics and diversity issues, leadership, supervision, training, and large-scale events. I've gained valuable experience with Putnamville's Criminal Investigation Division. I've held an administrative position for the past 7 years. My day consists of decision-making for criminal investigations, employee issues, vetting allegations of criminal conduct, and much more. In addition to my experience, I'm the candidate that is offering to bring true change, a different style of leadership, proven leadership based on training, hard work, and years of practical experience. I'm also the candidate with the knowledge and experience to address the internal issues. I will improve the structure and restore a professional and effective work environment for all employees. I encourage anyone with issues or concerns to reach out to me. I have more information about myself on Facebook at Sterling for Sheriff, and I can be reached at sterlingforsheriff@gmail.com. At the conclusion of this event, I'll make myself available to you. Please stop by and stay high. I want to thank everyone for your support, and I'm asking for your vote on May the 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you. Bryson?
As Josh said, there are three other candidates beside myself. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. Former Sheriff Mike Eaton used to tell us deputies that any one of us could lead the department. And that's exactly right. That's what a sheriff should do. They should instill confidence into their employees and make them feel like they are wanted and needed and they are doing a good job. This May 3rd, you guys have a tough decision to make. Like Sam said, regardless of who you choose to support, make sure you go vote. That is the most important thing in this election. We need to make sure that we exercise our rights and we vote for whichever candidate you feel best is for the position.
Thank you. And that concludes our portion of the sheriff's candidates. We'll move on now to directly to the auditor candidates. Is that correct, Dave?
That's correct. And first of all, let's give them all a round of applause. They did a great job. And I can tell they're not professional politicians. I mean no disrespect by that, but they didn't take all their time. I barely got to ring my bell, you know. So anyway, the remaining four candidates, go ahead and come up now, if you would, for county auditor as well as for county council. We've got four chairs up here, and we'll give them a chance to hear from Gretchen and answer some questions. And we'll take this time to give a quick station identification. This is WAMB. Brazil, Terre Haute, AM 1130, 99.5, and 106.9. We're also broadcasting live at WAMBradio.com, and this is live coverage of the 2022 Clay County Candidate Forum from Northview High School. So thanks for tuning in and for the many folks that have attended here today. And Gretchen, back to you.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, we'll start out, as I said, with county auditor candidates. And according to the ballot, we'll start out with Patty Fox. We'll have an initial introduction, and that, again, was 3 minutes. Right, Dave?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Patty, 3 minutes.
I think I'll bring it down to me.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad you came out tonight or this afternoon. Like I said, like she introduced me, I am Patty Fox. I am running for the Clay County Auditor. I am currently working in the auditor's office for the past 10 years. The last eight have been the first deputy. I have attended conferences, council and redevelopment meetings, so I know the day-to-day of running the office. I have experienced past 20 years, I've worked for a CPA. I've worked in the banking industry for 8 years, and I was elected as the Van Buren Township Advisory Board member for the past 4 years and serving as their secretary. I am involved in the community. I am currently serving my second term as the chairwoman of the Republican Party. I am the vice president of the Republican Club meeting, and our club meeting will be April the 25th, if anybody wants to attend. I'm also a member of the Brazil Main Street, a member of the Brazil Lions Club, serving as president, zone chair, and currently the treasurer. I've been elected to be the second vice district governor, and I will be starting my first district governor in July. I'm also a member of the Delta Theta Tau sorority, been the vice president, and currently serving as the treasurer. I'm involved in the community, supporting and getting to know everybody. So with your support, I would like to be your next Clay County auditor. Thank you.
Thank you, Batty. Next up, the same three-minute introduction, Thad Scheidler.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Thad Scheidler. I'm down from the southern end of the county, so some of you don't know me or don't know a lot about me, but I've been involved in agriculture my entire life. Been down there, we farmed, and then have run three different businesses down there. My experience in politics is very limited, you might say. But I have been involved in the Purdue Young Republican Group. I've been involved in Farm Bureau, in the Young Farmers Organization, and done numerous bouts of lobbying at the State House. I've been very blessed over my years and with the different organizations that I've belonged to, associated with, that I've been blessed with a gift of servitude. And my big goal is right now is that for entering this next faction or next area of my life, I want to be able to serve the residents of Clay County. I want to be able to serve all of you. And I think that this is the best opportunity for me to use my gifts that have been provided to me.
Thank you. From there, we have three auditor questions. Patty talked a lot about her work experience. But I'd like to drill down a little into the specific work experiences that have prepared you in serving as Clay County Auditor. Patty?
Being in the auditor's office, I know the day-to-day operations. I'm familiar with all the deputies, our claim deputy, our transfer deed deputy, and our payroll. I have experience in all backgrounds on all three areas, and by attending the conferences and the meetings and that, I have gained experience in those three areas to run the office.
Thank you. Thad?
If you look up the purpose of the auditor on Wikipedia or anything like that, the auditor is really the CEO of the county. They're the ones that control all the employees, all the monies going in and out of the county. With my experience of being in business all my life and anything like that, working with employees, numerous employees under different circumstances or anything like that, I can directly parlay all that information right back into the auditor's office. I can be a great manager. I also know finances in and out because we're I wouldn't have been in business for as long as I have.
Thank you. Our next question, if you are elected, how would the auditor's office operate differently than it does now? Patty?
Our office runs really good. We have real good transparency. I like to continue that. I like to keep our staff up to date with the new changes that is coming down in the future, so sending them to training would be beneficial to them and to myself, and get to know all the new employees that comes in. I'm looking forward into whoever's gonna be elected sheriff will help them with their job and to try to make that transaction as smooth as possible.
Thank you, Thad.
Thank you. Not knowing the actual day-to-day of what happens at the auditor's office as of today, I can't tell you how I want it to be different. Every time I go up to the office, it seems to run on a very functional basis. My goals as the way my management skills are, I don't like drama. I try to eliminate drama. I try to eliminate backbiting. I try to eliminate any pettiness that happens around me because we just have communication. And that's what I've done with all my employees in the past, that we will have a so-called tailgate session or anything like that. We'll sit around the back of a pickup. I'll buy everybody a Coke. And this is the things that we need to do. We need to discuss today. We need to have this. We don't need to be hearing from somebody down at the recorder's office, that somebody in the auditor's office or anything. That doesn't work. And that kind of situation is toxic to any kind of environment. And likewise, then it just opens up the whole communication process with the commissioners and the council members and everything like that. As long as everybody's on the same page, the office runs so much smoother.
Thank you. Next, our last question for auditor. What would be your top three priorities as auditor, and what plans do you have to address those top three priorities? Patty?
Like I said in the past, transparency. If you come in, I want to be as transparent as possible. You might not agree with the answer that comes up, but I'm sorry, that is the answer. I think our staff is really good in training, but I want them up to date, so if one of our girls is going to be gone in the office, the other one can cover for them. I think being up to date and knowledgeable and experienced will help them make the office run smooth. Thank you.
Thank you. And the same question to Thad?
Thank you. And I think goals are very important and everything like that. So top three goals that I would have for the auditor's office and any other office that I would be running for or be involved or any organization that I feel like. But the top three things is, number one, the public needs to feel comfortable when they come into the office. Instead of it being a chilly kind of atmosphere in there, or where people are afraid to ask questions to the staff or anybody else in the office or whatever, I think that that's a very high priority to make the public feel happy. The second thing is that I think that the staff all needs to feel part of it. They don't need to be scared to answer questions. They don't need to say, oh, I need to check with such and such. They need to be knowledgeable. They need to be trained. They need to be able to present an answer to any one of us that comes into the office or whatever. And then priority number three is, it can't be just a depressing kind of thing. We need to have fun with everything we do. So anything that my other goal is that I'd like to be able to make the courthouse more fun. Instead of it being just a stone brick building that is cold and nasty, I'd like for have an opportunity to add some excitement into the courthouse.
Thank you. And now for a 3-minute close for each of you, Patty.
Well, in closing, I would appreciate your vote on May the 3rd to be your next Clay County Auditor. With my experience and my background, I think I would be the better candidate. I think my goals in that is pretty clear, is to have transparency, working with all the council members and the commissioners and the sheriffs and the other departments, and to make a warm welcome when you come into our doors. Thank you.
Thank you. And that?
Well, the reasons you should vote for me are probably numerous, or maybe even be negative in all aspects. But from the standpoint or whatever, I can bring a lot of business experience. As a CEO of the county, it needs to be professional. It needs to be run like a true business. It can't be run off of just makeshift or whatever good old boy kind of attitudes. We've got goals, we've got attitudes. We need to make sure our forms are filled out properly and in the correct place at the correct time. And that is what I'm able to bring into the office, that I can use my experience, and then my management skills on people probably is just an added bonus.
Thank you. And that concludes our section on the auditor candidates, and we'll move on to our two council candidates, correct?
Absolutely. Okay.
And we'll start out with a 3-minute introduction for each candidate, starting with Marion Schaefer.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here today. My name is Marion Schaefer. My wife Jane and I have lived in Posey Township for the past 25 years, and I've been a resident of Clay County for 47 years total out of my life, having the first 20 years in Owen County. I grew up on a farm in southern Clay County, which we still own. During the 1970s, I owned a business, or owned and ran a business in Clay City for a while. Then I went to work for Pillsbury for almost 19 years before I switched and took a job as a professor at Indiana State University. For the past 30 years, I'm finishing up my final semester right now. My college degrees, I've got a bachelor's, a master's, and PhD from Indiana State. Currently, I'm also pastoring a church in Clay City. For the past 8 years, I've served most of the time the head of the Trustees Advisory Board for Posey Township, and decided that this time I would like to run for something that would serve all the people of Clay County and not just my township. So that's why I chose to run for County Council. I believe my knowledge and experience will enable me to discern how to use our resources most effectively. As a county, we're in better shape financially than many others, and I want to keep it that way while best meeting our needs. I think there could be some adjustments in priorities, and I believe in listening twice as much as I talk, because I have two ears and only one mouth. But please know that I'm running for this because of my desire to serve Clay County. I'm not running against my friend Jason here. He's a fine and honorable man, and I believe my friend. I hope each person will vote according to their conscience, knowing that either one of us will serve them well. Thank you.
Thank you. Jason?
Hi, I'm Jason Thomas, and I appreciate you all joining us here and online and in person. I also appreciate Dave and Gretchen putting this on. This has been really great. I want to say thank you, Dave, because you've been attending all of our meetings and filming them and putting them online, and that's filling a void. And so big shout out to you for that. I am your current county councilman for District 3, and I'm seeking re-election. I've spent 4 years on the council, and it's been a great 4 years. I've learned a lot. We've had some ups and downs. As everyone knows, we had a pandemic, and that caused us a lot of grief. In that year, we had to cut $1.5 million out of our budgets, and that was a real learning experience. One of the big things the county council does is they work with all the department heads in establishing their budgets and maintaining those budgets, and we also take care of everybody's raises and all that kind of stuff that goes on with the county employees. We take care of your tax dollars, and that's probably the biggest thing we do is we take care of your tax dollars. If you look at our neighboring county, Vigo, over there, and ask them what their property tax rates are and what they're paying, and look at what you're paying as a homeowner, you'll see there's a huge difference, and we take care of that. I don't know what your other questions are going to be, but I want to ramble for a minute.
Oh, you can okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to talk just a second about the jail and the jail expansion. When we built the jail, and I wasn't on the council then, but they instituted a 0.25%, which would be 0.0025, if you're doing the math, to pay for the jail. And that was a lit tax, which is a local income tax. That tax, we're going to have to extend it here in 7 years to continue to pay the bonds on the new expansion, but it will produce enough income to pay for the current and the new one as we go forward. So you've heard people say that we're not going to raise your taxes with the jail, expansion of the jail, and we're not. If you sit down and do the math and you look at it, we will have plenty of funds available with that current tax that you're paying to be able to go ahead and pay for the new jail. And that's one of the ways that we, the council, the current council, is looking after your tax dollars and looking after your wallets and, you know, trying to take care of you. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and for our first true question, where do you think we could make some more improvements in how the county is run by the council? Marion?
Well, I'm sure there are going to be opportunities. One that I'm particularly interested in, which was brought up in the sheriff's debate, is the pay of our deputies, which I've heard from a lot of people. I think it is a shame that a deputy, a jailer or whatever, can go over and work in a car wash and make more money than they're making protecting our lives from the prisoners. So I think that's one of the first things we need to address. Otherwise, I think the commissioners have been doing a good job of maintaining our roads and bridges. Comparing to Owen County, where my parents lived and where I grew up, you know, it's night and day difference. So I think that overall, as a county, we've done well in spending what we've spent. Opportunities, once I get the opportunity to see all the facts and figures, I'll be able to judge that better.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Thanks. Jason?
As a current council member, you know, pay is one thing, and this is what we're going to see a real problem of in the next 4 years or 6 years, and the reason for that is the inflation. You know, everyone's talking about inflation out there right now, and what we're going to see is our taxes, we're going to have to manage our income and the taxes coming in because everything's getting more and more expensive. We have instituted more raises for our employees in the last year. The Sheriff's Department actually got an extra raise. And we recently just did a thing for our people down at the county road area because we're losing drivers and we got to be competitive. And so it's going to be an interesting next 4 years to watch what we get in the way of income and what we can dole out in the way of raises. But, you know, realistically, our employees are our best resource, and we've got to take care of them. And everybody on the council today knows that, and it's just a balancing act of, you know, what can we afford and what can we not afford.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And next question, what additional projects do you hope to see the county take on for its growth and future? What would be your sort of dream list of projects? Marion?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, we would always like to see more high-paying jobs in the county and things we could do to attract those. But since all the current industries are struggling to attract enough workers all the time, it's kind of a problem if we start spending money to try to get more things in there, are we going to be able to supply those needs? So I think part of what we need to think about is what we can do to make this county a more attractive place for people to come and live so that that workforce will then be available not only for the current businesses we have, but also there to attract further new businesses. And I don't have a list of what those attractions would be, but I think that's something we need to think about.
Thank you. Jason?
That's a good question. What can we do to make this place better? Or what would be our special pet peeve projects? Normally, the commissioners are the ones that come up with the projects, and we pay for them the way this normally works. Mm-hmm. And we and the commissioners have been brainstorming of recent, what can we do to make the place better, or if we had a pot full of money, where would we spend it to improve things? We know we're going to make improvements at the jail, and that's just a known. That's a given. We're going to fix the roof. We're going to fix the water supply, and we're going to do an expansion on it. And the next thing is bridges. We are constantly fixing bridges and roads, and we need to continue to do that. What can we make it more attractive? The best thing we could do is if we could just figure out how to keep our young people here. We export our greatest resources all the time. And I don't know exactly what the answer is. I've got two kids that have left. I left back in the 80s for other opportunities in other places. But the best thing we can do is figure out how to keep these young people here, because they're the best and the brightest, and they will be the ones that innovate and build this place and make it even better.
Thank you. Okay.
And Gretchen, did you actually have anything lined up for the jail for the council candidates?
No, I didn't, but that would be a good topic for them.
I think that would be appropriate before they go to their close, since that's a hot topic right now, and the county council would appropriate dollars for that.
I agree with that. So, Marion, let's talk a little bit about the jail expansion and your thoughts on it, and why you're for or against it.
I'm not strongly for or against it, per se. I think that it does lend an opportunity to bring in prisoners that help pay for the facilities that we have and pay for the jailers that we have, with prisoners that other counties just won't accept. It also, by expanding, it makes larger facilities for if we have future needs within our own county that would not be met. We don't want to run into the problem that Vigo County did by overcrowding their jail. And we're not there right now, but 20 years from now, we don't know what things are going to look like. A crackdown on the drug problem is certainly something we need to do, and if we do that, then that likely means there will be more local prisoners in our jail. So I think that it's something that probably is a smart move if done properly and managed properly.
Thank you. And the same question for Jason.
I'm for the jail expansion, but let me start off saying it's not a question as if we're going to expand the jail. The question is, when are we going to expand the jail? The current jail has 4 to 6 years left before it's full of locals. Then we're going to be in the same place that Terre Haute's in. We're being forced to do something against our will or in a rash decision. The current jail with the ICE people is producing us a lot of income. And I've in the past 4 years, I've seen that income going down and down and down because of all the beds being taken by our local people. So the question is not if we're going to do it, it's when we're going to do it. And with the current inflation rate coming on, and it's going to be here for a while, folks, we're going to see this inflation. I predict we're going to see it for another 4 years. Either that or we're going to see a heck of a recession. The prices, we started talking about the jail a year and a half ago as the council people, and we went from somewhere between $21 and $24 million was the cost 4 years ago, or a year and a half ago, or the talked about cost. And today they're talking about $29 million to $34 million. So we've seen over a 25% increase in just a year and a half of the cost. Now, if we wait 4 years to build this thing, our current tax rate might not cover it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and that leads us to our final 3-minute close for each candidate. Marion?
Well, I think that we're both here to serve the county and do what's wisest with the resources that we have, with your tax dollars and my tax dollars. I think that what I bring is a different experience. You know, I've been at a department chair at the university where I had to manage people and allocate resources. Having been in business, same thing. So I think I have the knowledge and background to make those decisions. And I like to think for myself and not just follow along with whatever is being said without thinking through it and making my own decision. So I want to be my own person standing up there for what I think you want done. So
thank you. Jason?
I've enjoyed serving the community for the last 4 years, and I'd like an opportunity to do that again. So on May 3rd, please get out and vote, and I'd appreciate to have your vote. I want to clarify one thing that I keep getting asked questions about all the time. I am not the owner of the Dairy Queen. That is my little brother, and so it's very close in the family. So there's no free ice cream. So on May 3rd, everybody, please go out and vote, and I'd appreciate to have your vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dave?
Thanks, Gretchen. Let's give a round of applause for Gretchen Stone being the moderator today. And again, this was designed to make sure that anyone who had a contested race would get a chance to speak. And of course, these are the only races on the Republican ballot where we do have contested races. We'll try to do something in the fall. I noticed in the audience, we've got a person that's running for U.S. Congress on the Democratic ticket, and it is a contested race. I should have thought of this and invited everyone, but if you would allow me just 3 more minutes, I'd like to give Ray McCormick from Vincennes, who is running for U.S. Congress, to at least have a chance to introduce himself, and I'm going to keep you to 3 minutes, Ray, because everybody wants to get the Easter weekend going, but please welcome Ray McCormick from Vincennes.
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm Ray McCormick from Knox County. I'm a fourth-generation farmer, but more importantly, I'm a conservationist, and I've spent my whole life serving this country under the flag of conservation. I've worked with 4 governors here in Indiana. I've worked with President Obama on the Great Outdoors Initiative on how to get young people in this country in the outdoors. I've been awarded national awards by George Bush for some of my outdoor work that I've done. So I've really literally spent my whole life trying to make this a better place to live. And the question was asked, how do we keep young people here? This is a monumental problem. You know, my wife is with my grandkids and my daughter that moved away. We need to keep the brightest, the smartest, and the most talented, ambitious people here in our own communities. And you do that with quality of life. So what I'm fighting for is clean water, cleaner air, nutritious food, and an environment and a world where people want to stay here, because southwestern Indiana is this incredible place. And very few know it, but there is about to become a revolution in the southwestern district. Solar is moving in every county around every power plant. It's going to bring unprecedented wealth. Low-cost energy is going to pull the big tech companies to our area, because we have the biggest concentration of power plants and power lines. And it's not going to happen. It's happening. My land is leased. It's going to bring a huge amount of taxes to these counties, employment. It's going to bring us cleaner air. So let's make this 8th District, the 21 counties of the 8th District, someone that embraces change, embraces a better quality of life, so that all of us and all of our children and grandchildren will want to stay here, live here, and make this one of the nicest places in the United States. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Again, want to thank all of our candidates for being here today. A quick reminder that early voting is already underway. If you want to go to room 211 of the courthouse, 8 a.m. until 4 p.m., excluding the noon hour. They have to take a lunch break during that time and split up the time, I guess, with their work. But you can do that now through April 29th during the weekdays and vote early. There's also a voting early day next Saturday from 9 to 4 down in Bowling Green at the Community Center. They'll also still do that in the election office on Saturday of next week. April 30th, there's a 9 to 4 event at Cory Nazarene Church, as well as the election office. And then on Monday, May 2nd, from 8 to noon, you can vote early on or at the courthouse in the election office. On Election Day, Tuesday, May 3rd, polls will be open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The following voting centers in Clay County will be open during those 12 hours. Carbon Baptist Church at North Murphy in Carbon, Center Point Firehouse in Center Point, the Clay Community School Central Office at Forest Avenue, Grace Chapel Church on U.S. Highway 40 in Brazil, Harmony Community Center, U.S. Highway 40 Brazil, Lewis Township Firehouse in Colmont, the Orange Building in Clay City, and the VFW Post in Brazil. I think that wraps it up. Again, I want to thank Northview and Clay Community Schools for allowing us to be in this beautiful auditorium. I hope we can use it again for other events like this. Again, thanks to everyone who helped put this together, and most importantly, the candidates for their willingness to step up and put their name on the ballot. It's not easy to do that, folks, I can guarantee you, especially in today's political environment. And don't forget to tune in on election night. We'll have election coverage for you on WAMB. So for Gretchen Stone, I'm Dave Crooks. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming out today to the auditorium, and have a very pleasant and happy Easter weekend.